speaking schedule, so I have the honor to give the sermon today. Okay, get my notes out here.
Mr. Martinez, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, Peter.
Okay, I'm sorry. My phone was out today. My internet is out. I'm on my cell phone, so I'll be able to hear the sermon. And I'll be able to give the closing prayer, God willing.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Fleming.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Good afternoon, brethren, and I hope everyone is having a great and restful Sabbath day so far. I know we are here in Puerto Rico, and pray you are too, wherever you may be. Our weather in Puerto Rico this week has been very warm. It's barely rained at all, at least where we live, and it's just been in very warm in the low to mid 80s, and it's a beautiful blue sky, clear day here, just a few clouds around the area, but we're thankful for God's great weather that he's blessed us with. Well, brethren, we are living in turbulent times in our world today, as the Gregorian calendar has shifted to the year 2022. Our country is as divided as ever, and the world seems to be falling more and more into chaos because of current events that are happening across the globe. It seems like the more people find resolutions to do in the year 2022, the more they go away, because as much as people want to change, be a better person, and find a better version of themselves, most of the resolutions they write or think of are not even done, and they quit before even February begins. As the world shifts more and more away from God, the teachings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, and distancing themselves from what the Holy Scriptures tell us for how we ought to live, the year 2022 is just another step into God's plan for mankind. Satan and his demons are on the loose around the world, deceiving nations, turning people against each other, and breeding more and more corruption from governments in all nations that span into the very essence of the problem mankind faces. There is no consideration given for what God and our Messiah, Jesus the Christ, say in the Word of God that we need to do to better our current situation. The dependence on mankind and his wisdom only, and not relying on our Heavenly Father, is something that is ultimately plaguing the world into what 2021 brought, and the pattern seems to be continuing on for this 2022. I've titled today's sermon, Consider Your Ways. Consider Your Ways. We are going to look at how we need to consider our ways, meaning we need to take into consideration what we are doing in our lives when God calls us as his chosen few, to have a spiritual mindset towards what we are doing in our lives. Our ways need to be in alignment with God's commandments and instructions, because they present the very essence of our calling to fulfill what God has placed in our hearts and minds to do, to make sure we do our due diligence with our calling. The world is in enough of a mess as it is. We need to consider our ways of doing the things that are expected of us from God and our Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Today, we are going to be looking at this topic of considering our ways from the point of view and story of one of the minor prophets in the Bible. This prophet was chosen and sent from God to deliver a specific message to the people of Israel, because they were lacking initiative because of what they were not doing in accordance with God's word, commandments, and instructions. Brethren, I am talking about the prophet Haggai. The book of Haggai is the shortest book in the Old Testament, containing all but two chapters, comprising a total of 38 verses. Haggai is a book that is not turned to much at all, whether in sermons or our own Bible study in our time, and it is located in between two well-known prophets in the Bible, It is right after the book of Zephaniah and right before the book of Zechariah, two books I'm sure we are all familiar with and have turned to on a more regular basis. We also know of the story of Ezra and Zechariah, especially with the prophetic implications given from Zechariah about our Messiah in the future. But today, we will look at what I will call the little guy. Haggai has two different forms of pronunciation, and they are different from what I have been pronouncing it all of my life. It can be said as either Haggai, with an emphasis on the H-A, or Haggai. I always used to say it as Haggai, with an emphasis on the G-G-A-I, but you can say it as you please. As it relates to the book of Haggai itself, it is a prophecy that consists of four messages delivered to the nation of Israel after the rebuilding of the temple ceased for 10 years. Haggai is considered one of the first prophets to minister to Israel following Babylonian captivity. And you can read of a brief personal background of Haggai in the book of Ezra, chapters 5 and 6. We won't be turning there, but you can put it in your notes for your own study later. Haggai dates his prophecy according to the reigning of the Persian monarch, Darius the King, around 521 BC. Darius the King was interested in law and actually permitted the Jews to rebuild Solomon's temple, previously destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar in 526 BC. What is interesting about Haggai's ministry is that it was short. It lasted only 4 months. But his work was sufficient to get the people of Israel started again with the rebuilding of the temple. The work Haggai began was carried out afterwards by Zechariah and Malachi, as I'm sure you all recognize who they are. The meaning of Haggai is uncertain, but it varies. For some render it meaning festival, festive, or festive one. And even some believe the prophet was born on a feast of the Lord. Haggai was a man raised up by God at a specific time for a specific mission. He was already of old age when he was called by God. However, even though the ministry was short and the age was old, for God, it doesn't matter. Haggai was to encourage the people to resume the building of the temple, for blessing from God depends on obedience, as we will see here shortly in Scripture. What is interesting about the events during the calling of Haggai is that the people of Israel listened and actually began rebuilding the temple about 3 weeks after Haggai had preached to them, because there was a drought going on around the land of Israel, and the people were just complacent. They just ignored what God had done and promised them, and just were plain lazy to rebuild the temple that had been destroyed. Haggai served an important purpose, and four messages were delivered to the people of Israel. A message of motivation, a message of consolation, a message of affirmation, and a message of anticipation. There are only two chapters in Haggai, but God's word is ever important in our lives. Let's begin, if you haven't turned to already, to the book of Haggai, chapter 1, and we'll begin in verse 1. This will set the stage as to the circumstances surrounding the events of that time. Haggai chapter 1, verse 1, reading out of the King James Version, it says, "In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, saying." The historical context of when the events of Haggai are outlined, and to whom the word of God was intended to be towards Zerubbabel, who was the governor of Judah at the time, and to Joshua, who was the high priest. Let's continue reading verses 2 through 6 here in Haggai, chapter 1. It says, "Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O you, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. You have so much, and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earns wages, earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. The need to rebuild the house of God is established in these verses. The people believed at the time that it was not yet the moment to rebuild the house of God, and that people just wanted to be in their homes, while the temple laid in ruins. The people think that they have done a lot, but have done so little. It is time to change." We go on to read the analogy given by Haggai regarding the people of Israel, by presenting how much the people think they have done with their day-to-day activities, but have done little in comparison to what can be done. It was time for the people of Israel to consider their ways, what they were doing, and what they needed to do in order to get their house in order, God's house. The phrase, "consider your ways," is first used from Haggai, from the message of our Heavenly Father to the people, as a means to let the people know that something needed to change. And that change was to do the action appointed by God to get out of the former ways that people were just living in their lives. The people of Israel thought they were doing everything just fine in their comfort zone. Yet they did not realize almost all that was being done was not being completed to the fullest potential. Let's read now verses 7 through 11 here in Haggai chapter 1. It says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood, and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? Says the Lord of hosts. Because of mine house that is waste, and you run every man unto his own house. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground brings forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands." We read of the second time where the words "consider your ways" are mentioned here by the prophet Haggai. The need to rebuild the house of the Lord is made clear, and how to go about it. The circumstances that lead to the commission to rebuild are also outlined, and that is the drought that ensued the land at the time. God wanted people of Israel to get the message as clear as it gets. There was a clear picture of what the people of Israel were also doing in their daily activity. Every person was going about his business, going to their homes, living their lives, and just passing by where the temple stood at one time, over a decade, yet nothing was done to actually rebuild it. Until the time of Haggai. Throughout this time, The people of Israel just believed it was not time to rebuild the temple, to just leave it for another time, and procrastinate until someone would tell them to. Remember, prophets, whether major or minor, they all served a unique purpose for God, as messengers to prophesy what needed to be done because the people of Israel needed that reassurance constantly. Just look at how many times God sent different prophets throughout Scripture. God has a reason for all he does in our life as well, brethren. We are not to wander around, focus so much on what we do in our daily life, that we just completely forget about God first. We sometimes are so immersed in our daily routine that we forget to do the things that are required of us from God in the first place. We must always consider the way we do things from our Heavenly Father. The commission to rebuild the temple is our example of how we need to act daily, on how we should rebuild our relationship with our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Let's read now verses 12 through 15 here in Haggai chapter 1. It says, "Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king." The compliance to rebuild is established with the people of Israel, and they heard the word of God through the prophet Haggai and complied to rebuild the temple. Obedience to God's word and instructions produces the fear of our Heavenly Father that should be in us daily. The events lead to obedience from God's word and ways, as we just read. The fear of God is the beginning of an absolute change in our lives. God will be felt in our lives once we consider what we are doing and do his ways and obey and fear him. Consider your ways is a call for all of us to pay attention to what we are doing in our lives, to how we are serving God, to what we are doing when it comes to the spiritual application of his word, to how we are living. Look at how the people of Israel quickly changed and heeded to the words from the prophet Haggai. We too need to listen to the word of God as it relates to our spiritual daily living. We sometimes need to take a step back and see what we are doing in our life. Meditate on it and ask yourself, is this pleasing God? If not, look at what happened to the people of Israel. They worked and worked, but barely anything was being produced. They worked in vain because they did not consider their ways and put God at the forefront of all they did. Let's look at what proceeded next for the people of Israel by reading now Haggai chapter 2, beginning in verses 1 and 2. Here we will read the first of 3 messages overall from the 2nd chapter of the book of Haggai, beginning with a message of consolation. 1 and 2, it says, in the seventh month, in the 1 and 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, the timeline of when this message takes place is about a month and a half after the first message was given by Haggai, and around a month after construction of the temple had begun in the land. Reading now verse 3. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? This verse alludes to the former glory of the temple being restored from how it was previously before its destruction. The question from Haggai establishes how things were before, when nothing was done, and how things should be once the word of God is obeyed, and his instructions and commandments are put into practice. The same can also be said about us today, brethren. Imagine yourself before your calling and being part of the world, and seeing how things are once we were called into God's truth. The difference between our former self and the new man that we are to strive to put on daily is remarkably different. Reading now verses 4 through 9, here in Haggai chapter 2. It says, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. So my spirit remains among you, fear you not. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens, and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, says the Lord of hosts. God's command of staying strong, to build and do the will of God, knowing our Heavenly Father will always be with us, is something we need to always keep in mind. God will always keep his word. We cannot fear the path God puts us on. God's plan for future events to come will always be something in our hearts and minds. But scripture is clear, like we just read in the second part of verse 5. So my spirit remains among you, fear you not. Everything that is in this world is the possession of God, and we even get a glimpse into the prophetic event that happened after the birth of Christ, when in verse 9 speaks about the glory of the temple, and how it refers to Christ's physical presence in the second temple during his time on this physical earth. The rebuilding of the temple was not just putting a bunch of stones, bricks, and materials together for just another construction project. This was the building of the second temple, something God wanted the people of the land to do, because the people had departed from keeping God's temple in their mind with his ways and only focusing on their own homes. Remember, brethren, God and His ways come before anything we do, or else it is as good as nothing and done in vain. Psalms 127, verse 1 is very clear. You don't need to turn there. Just put it in your notes. Psalms 127 and verse 1, where it says, "Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes, but in vain." Haggai encourages the people to continue the work commanded to do by God, knowing He will always guide the process through which everything is done. The next set of verses will deliver a message of affirmation on how the circumstances of the events unfolding to the people of Israel can be applied to what Haggai was referencing. Reading now verses 10 and 11 here in Haggai chapter 2. It says, "In the 24th day of the 9th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, Ask now the priests concerning the law, saying, This is the third time the word of the Lord comes to Haggai, with a specific message to be given to the people. Remember, God's timing with words given by the prophets is always done at specific intervals in time, with certain messages in mind to give when God deems it necessary." Reading now verses 12 and 13. It says, "If one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread, or pottage, or wine, or oil, or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, No. Then said Haggai, If one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, It shall be unclean." The illustration of contamination bears the testimony to always be ready to give an answer, especially when it comes to things asked of what God expects us to know. The content of this message is clearly listed with the application to Israel. Reading now verses 14 through 17. It says, "Then answered Haggai and said, So is this people, and so is this nation before me, says the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. And now, I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days were, when one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10, when one came to the press vat for to draw 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail in all the labors of your hands, yet you turn not to me, says the Lord." The application of the message from Haggai to the people of Israel is that the things that are unclean and corruptible are transferable, but the things which are uncorruptible are not communicable. The people needed to change, for the temple was being built, but their hearts were not completely transformed from their former ways. In order to change for the things of God, we must first let go of the things which distanced ourselves from God and our Messiah, Jesus the Christ, in the first place. We cannot expect to touch that which is corruptible in our lives and presume we can go back to God without completely letting go of what put us in that situation in the first place. If we are to apply this to our lives, we must consider all God is trying to do in our lives. Just like God sent all the physical signs of what was happening to the land and to the people not turning to Him, the same applies to us today. Sometimes there are so many things happening around us, we seem to forget that the solution can be as simple as turning away from a situation, circumstance, actions, personal decisions, and spiritual awareness we may not be paying attention to when it comes to our relationship with God. We have to always consider our ways when it comes to our relationship with our Heavenly Father and our Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Reading now verses 18 and 19, and we'll see the response to the actions done on the part of the people of Israel. It says, "Consider now, from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not brought forth, from this day will I bless you." The words spoken here relate to how the need to consider and remember what is being done from God to the people of Israel is important. No matter how things are supposed to be, God's blessings have no limit on when or the circumstances that lead to the blessings afforded to God for Israel. And the same can be applied to us today. If we listen, heed, and follow the Word of God and maintain ourselves aligned with His purpose and perfect will in our lives, we will always consider all our ways of our life, because we would keep in mind all we are doing and always remembering His ways. Let's look now at the fourth and final area related to the message of the book of Haggai, and that is the message of anticipation given at the end of the book. The message of anticipation speaks of things to come in the future, but giving the people of Israel, and especially its governor, Zerubbabel, the instructions of things to come. Let's read now verses 20 and 21. It says, "And again, the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth." This is the fourth message from the book of Haggai to the governor of Judah, Zerubbabel. Another word from God to Zerubbabel is given from Haggai to convey the message of what is to come for the land. God will cause big changes when they need to happen, as we just read in the second part of verse 21. Just when the people would build the second temple, it would be evident that God would not be done with what is to come for the people surrounding the land of Israel. Let's read now verse 22. It says, "And I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots, and those that ride in them, and the horses, and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother." The events that would be to pass are from the neighboring kingdoms of the Gentiles during that time. After everything would come to pass from the words of Haggai the prophet, there will be chaos in the midst of the land, because God will then proceed to establish a specific purpose. The chaos of the destruction will be something important that needed to happen, because of the main purpose for Zerubbabel. Let's read verse 23, the final verse for the book of Haggai. It says, "In that day, says the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and I will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, says the Lord of hosts." The implication from God to Zerubbabel is that a specific and unique purpose was to be given him from God. Haggai's message gives mention of a signet. The signet, also known as a signet ring, was used for the signing of letters and official documents. It was a mark of honor and authority. Zerubbabel would carry the authority of God and represent him. Amidst the chaos and disorder, God always has a plan for his called and chosen few. The book of Haggai is a short compilation of four different messages given from God to the prophet Haggai, someone who not very much of his lineage is known of, someone who was not spoken of or even mentioned much at all in all of the Holy Bible. However, God knew he will be chosen to deliver a unique message to the people of Israel. Haggai proved to be extremely valuable because each of his four messages included the phrase, "Consider your ways." Haggai's message was clear. The people of Israel needed to change and take into consideration all they were doing, or lack thereof, because of the destruction of the first temple still evident. Yet nothing was done. Also, people were just living their lives according to their own wishes, desires, and needs, without taking into consideration what God had instructed them to do, and not putting God and his word first. Haggai was also instrumental in the development of future major prophets like Zechariah and Malachi that we have read so much before in our own time studying God's word. No matter how small the prophet, how small the book, and small the stature, the message of God is always big because it applies deeply in our lives. We need to understand that, like the people of Israel, we also have a message of motivation, consolation, affirmation, and anticipation. When things begin to change in our lives for the good, we will see times when things begin to get more chaotic. But this is not to mean that God is doing things on purpose, or to spite us, or make us suffer. No, brethren, he does it because of our faith, complete trust, and reliance on him needs to be put to the test. Not just when things go well for us, but also for when things get bad. Always remember, no matter our age, no matter our background, no matter our current situation, and no matter what mankind thinks, when God calls us for his unique and divine purpose, we are to heed the call. And remember, always consider your ways. That does conclude my message for today. I will turn services over to Mr. Fleming, see if he can lead us in a closing song and closing prayer. Mr. Fleming, are you there?